When the U.S. federal government failed the people of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, Americans were not upset enough. And now it seems we've become accustomed to it. The suspicious fires in California and Hawaii continue to go ignored. Thanks to the help of their neighbors, the victims of Hurricane Helene are being looked after, and they can still use our help. According to independent reports, FEMA hasn't been seen helping anyone. And we now know that this is because they have been busy building camps in the area. Camps big enough to house 700 FEMA employees.
Yes. But we were just wondering what it is y'all are doing, and because FEMA's had, you know, they said they were pulling out because of militia and stuff, which that was debunked. So we just want to get the truth out because people are kind of like all over the place.
Understood. Yes.
You know?
Yes, definitely understandable. We are definitely not pulling out. We are actually building this for our responders, for FEMA responders, other federal agencies. We have several of these sites around the area to help volunteer agencies as well that need lodging that are coming in to help the survivors in the local area.
Okay.
So that's what this is being stood up for.
So this will be for the folks that have lost everything, they need a place to stay kind of thing?
This is for the responders
only
that are helping those folks.
Okay.
We are building these to stay out of the local hotels so that the survivors have the ability to stay in the local hotels.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, is there money being provided to the survivors to accommodate hotel or?
Yes, there is. That is not my area. That's our individual assistance and the whole other side of FEMA.
Okay.
Our focus is really on this side to try to do the back-end support for the operation.
And so how many responders will you house here, and how long do you think your response will be?
We're building this to come up to 700 people.
Okay.
And right now, as well, how long it's going to be, we are unsure.
Okay.
It's really an unknown number for us at this point.
They're going to be there long enough to require tornado shelters.
Tornado shelters,
yeah.
Yes.
Are you all expecting tornadoes here?
We are not expecting tornadoes. We part of the package that goes out is to ensure that all the responders are safe.
Right.
And there's nowhere for people to take cover here. So it's just part of the operation that goes out.
And they are building at least two more just like it.
Okay. Are you building another camp like this somewhere in North Carolina?
We do have another one. We actually have one in Flat Rock.
In Flat Rock,
yes.
Okay.
And then we're putting another one up in Wilkes County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. So we are trying to ensure that there is coverage in the areas that were most heavily damaged.
Why they are building these camps is yet to be discovered. Many are suggesting it's all part of a land grab for minerals. But whatever it is, it does not look like help.
FEMA showed up and spent a lot of taxpayer dollars. I wish I had a number for you. I'm just going to guess 50 million plus to provide a space for their workers to exist to help out sometime in the future. And that's what our federal government does. It spends money. As somebody said in the comments, they're a self-licking ice cream cone. They exist for themselves in and of themselves. What could $50 million do for this area? How many generators could you purchase with $50 million to help out those who need it? And that's what I'm talking about. You know, everything that's come into this area has been the goodwill of the citizens of this nation, the volunteers, the people that are donating clothes and food and money. So many things to help out. And that's because you, the citizens, are doing that, not the federal government.
The federal government may be run by parasites and thieves, but the people have come together to offer help.
Many people who showed up said, I had to do something. God put it in my heart. I had to come do something. And they wanted to help. And they've been able to put them to work, and they organized it like a way I've never seen anything before in my life. I can't really speak to the FEMA part very much, but I do know that the local emergency managements have done an astounding job.
And we can still help. There are wells to be dug to provide people with water at GoFundMe, Western North Carolina Water Well Fund. And the Truth About Cancer have a Helene Relief fundraiser connected to people that are there and responding to people's needs. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, and ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
It's Monday, October 28th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal, coming to you live this Monday morning. A lot of stuff has happened since last we spoke. A couple gigantic appearances from Donald Trump, including Joe Rogan. I don't think I did we that was Friday, right? Did we cover it? I don't even know anymore. The latest is the Madison Square Garden, just absolute bombshell, gigantic rally, probably the biggest one he's ever had. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the leftist screeching about it very hilariously. But we're in the final stretch of this election and possibly the existence of InfoWars. It's all coming to a head right now. I want to talk about what the potentialities are. What cards have been played and what haven't yet been played in terms of the establishment's pathological desire to stop Trump at any cost. We'll get into that. We got a couple of big guests today, and we'll be taking your phone calls before then, so we'll open up the phone lines early today. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 28th of October, 2024. Trump drew 20,000 to Madison Square Garden, and tens of thousands rallied outside. They could have sold the garden twice. While some 20,000 Donald Trump supporters filled Madison Square Garden to capacity on Sunday, many thousands were turned away, according to law enforcement sources. Estimates on the number of MAGA faithful in Midtown Manhattan varied, but one cop on the scene guessed it there were about 20,000 turned away when officials closed the door to the garden at 4:30, 3 hours before Trump went on. We have a lot of clips to play from that. It was a star-studded event. Just a huge number of people coming out showing support for Donald Trump. Of course, there was some controversy as well, and we'll get into that. But it's very funny the way that they're framing this rally as being any different than any other Trump rally, mostly having to do with the fact that 85 years ago, American Nazis held a rally at a venue with the same name. It wasn't the same venue or anything. There have been like three Madison Square Gardens in between the time that this event was held, and the one in, 85 years ago. They also, it was the place where the DNC was held in like 92, I think. But somehow they're able to do this. They're able to take some incredibly tangential, totally unassociated event from 85 years ago and say that makes this rally bad and dangerous and different. And you see leftists on social media posting, if you can still support Trump after this rally. Okay, the man has held 10,000 rallies. Oh, but this one was too far because it was in a basketball arena. Okay, shut up now. You can shut up now. We'll get into it. Continuing on here, Tommy Robinson jailed for 18 months for repeating libelous claim against Syrian refugee. Thousands of Robinson's supporters protested in central London on Saturday, but the right-wing figure missed the event. Far-right activist Tommy Robinson has been jailed for 18 months for contempt of court after he admitted breaching an injunction preventing him from repeating libelous accusations against a Syrian refugee. The 41-year-old, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley-Lennon, that's a Tommy Robinson, was accused of thumbing his nose at the court in front of millions of people by breaching the 2021 high court order on multiple occasions, including airing a documentary at a rally in Trafalgar Square in July. In a ruling on Friday, Mr. Justice Johnson sentenced him to 18 months in prison, less 3 days served on remand for the flagrant breaches of the court order, receiving more prison time than people who literally murdered a child with a machete. Served only 6 months before being let out because the prisons are just way too overcrowded. We will return to that topic as the UK is really going down a sort of horrifying path. We'll show you audio recordings of what is actually happening to the peaceful protesters that they've imprisoned for years for waving a flag or raising their voices at a police officer. They're being savagely beaten by the 90%+ Muslim prison population in the UK. And then we also have stories of those very same illegal immigrants doing things like grabbing a 14-year-old at a bus stop and raping her behind the bushes. That happened yesterday in the UK. So they've got a lot of problems, and we'll talk about some of them in just a little bit. Meanwhile, in the World War front, Russian forces conquer Solidovo after short siege, signaling deteriorating Ukrainian defenses in the fight for Donetsk region. In an operation that took a little over a week, Russian Federation forces conquered the Donetsk city of Solidovo, opening up a field of advances towards the city of Pokrovsk. In 2020, the city had a population of 22,000 people, being almost as large as Avdiivka. A mere week ago, Russian troops barely began entering the city. Now all that remains is a usual mop-up operation, and we'll show you some time-lapse videos of exactly what's happening there in the eastern part of Ukraine as the defenses are crumbling and Russia is consolidating its gains in the inevitable victory that has just been waylaid for several years at the cost of a million innocent Ukrainians. Also in the realm of world wars and the failure of America's allies, Hezbollah carried out a record 48 successful military operations against Israel on Friday. Lebanese Hezbollah resistance movement announced on Friday a record 48 military operations against the Zionist entity, surpassing the previous high of 39 operations set earlier in the week. The Friday operations included successful strikes on six Merkava tanks, a Hummer military vehicle, and multiple bases, including Ramat David, Filon in occupied Safed, and Carmel in occupied Haifa. The attacks were carried out using a barrage of missiles and drones in coordinated waves. Resistance fighters also targeted and downed a Hermes 450 drone and successfully ambushed and killed many Israeli regime forces inside Lebanon and across the border. So, yes, the incursions into Lebanon by Israel are going about as well as we told you they would. And things are getting a little rocky there as well. We will return to that topic in just a little bit. Finally, we have this. Thousands of votes already cast in Mesa County, Colorado, to be re-examined for evidence of fraud. Mesa County, Colorado is re-examining nearly 30,000 previously cast votes after discovery of a dozen fraudulent ballots, with some voters reporting the ballots were intercepted and submitted without their consent. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold announced Thursday during a press conference that over a dozen mailed ballots were intercepted and cast fraudulently before the actual voters even had a chance to receive them. This alarming situation has sparked a full-blown criminal investigation, and three of those fraudulent votes were counted before the tampering was caught. Again, we'll get into this, but that's your Daily Dispatch, and that story is maybe a good segue into just the overall political atmosphere in America. We have a couple things going on right now. We have overwhelming, outsized, largest it's ever been support for Donald Trump. In the media, in popular culture, in the crowd sizes, in the places that he's going, just absolutely unprecedented support and success for Donald Trump. Simultaneous with that, is the talking point that Donald Trump is a Nazi and all of his supporters are Nazis, which should be obvious to everybody, is simply a thinly veiled call to arms to the leftists. It is setting the ground for when either leftist psychopaths act out on their delusions and actually attack Trump supporters, or when they launch a coup after Trump wins the election and claims that they're saving democracy by preventing the Nazi from taking power. There's lots of reasons that they're desperate to frame Trump supporters as Nazis, none of them having anything even slightly to do with reality. Also going on at this point are just massive, unbelievably flagrant voter fraud schemes, including like what is being discovered in Colorado, which I remind you was only discovered because people happened to sign on to their voter portal and saw that it claimed their ballot had already been received. Now, if they had not signed on, if they had not gone to this portal and checked and noticed that their vote had already been cast, even though they never gotten a ballot and then reported that, and if enough people did it, finally got somebody's attention. If they hadn't done that, if they hadn't looked, then likely they would have gone to vote in person. Their in-person vote would have then been compared to the received mail-in ballot, and that in-person vote would have been destroyed, and whoever voted on their behalf with the mail-in ballot, that would have been the vote that was counted. That's the way the system is set up to work at this point. And it's obviously a big deal, and we've been talking about it a lot. I don't know if it's fully sunk in just how broken our electoral system is, just how unbelievable the fraud has become, how like overwhelming and obvious it is, how the mail-in ballot system has been designed deliberately, explicitly. It has been designed on purpose to be fraudulent. Like, you cannot judge whether a ballot is real or not, and it's set up to where anybody could grab ballots out of the mail or just collect them at the post office, fill them out, and turn them in. Nobody would know any better. Nobody would have any idea unless, like Colorado, you have some portal that people happen to sign into and see that their vote has been stolen from them already. This, of course, in the exact county where Tina Peters was arrested and sent to jail for 9 years for noticing some inconsistencies and documenting and saving the evidence of fraud in that county. And so, I'm sort of torn because on one hand, it seems obvious to me that Trump's going to win. Like, there's just no way that he can't. Simultaneously, you have the Trump campaign just getting better and better, bigger and bigger, events bigger, speakers bigger, just everything is growing and continues to grow and was already huge a long time before for Trump, while Kamala Harris's campaign just collapses in the most embarrassing display of incompetence I've ever seen from a presidential campaign, including Tim Walz playing Madden football with AOC while 50,000 Trump fans gather in Madison Square Garden. They're totally failing. So then what's going to happen? What's going to happen when, on the few days after the election, after Trump has seemingly won every state in the union, suddenly the necessary and important states that the Democrats have to win come back and have a whole bunch of mail-in ballots, all totally for Kamala Harris, none of them for Donald Trump, and they steal the victory? Like, I just keep getting this vision, like the day after Election Day, Trump supporters, after having witnessed the person that already won in 2016, that only grew his popularity by 2020, who's only like doubled his popularity since then, who's winning every betting market, who is, again, just on a tear. He's on a victory lap at this point. What's going to happen? And I just keep having this vision of all these Trump supporters just looking in disbelief as the mainstream media goes, yeah, it turns out in the middle of the night, that red mirage disappeared, the blue wave mail-in ballots came through and Kamala Harris is your president. Like, what's going to happen? Honestly, what is going to happen when they steal the election and when they tell you that Kamala Harris won? I don't know if we're prepared for that, but I can almost guarantee you that something like that is very likely to happen. Of course, the other option is Trump wins, it's legitimate, and the leftists freak out anyway. They've been priming their supporters for physical violence and you know, political riots following the election. They have plans in place to activate that contingency plan as well. So we're like 2 weeks away from just absolute chaos one way or the other. And maybe we'll open up phone calls on this topic, because I don't have an answer. Like, obviously, if Trump wins, as he should, as he obviously is, then, like, we, you know, no worries. They're going to riot. The biggest threat, I think, at that point is them killing Trump in between the election and the inauguration. And they're going to try to pull some bullcrap. But they're screwed by their own policy, because they actually went in after January 6, 2021 and changed the rules to where the vice president basically has to certify the election now. So even if they wanted to not certify the election with Kamala Harris serving as vice president and overseeing the procedure, like, they can't really do that at this point. So maybe they have some other tricks up their sleeve. But if Trump wins, like, we can deal with whatever comes after that. But seriously, what do we do if they steal the election? What do we do if that eventuality comes to pass? What do we do? I'm going to open up the phone lines on this topic. What do you think Trump supporters should do if they do like they did in 2020 and flagrantly, blatantly, in your face, steal the election in front of everybody? It's not just not out of the question. Like, as I picture, you know, the jubilant, happy, like, awaiting victory, all the Trump forces just, you know, sort of in this state of shock and just being appalled and just, like, not understanding what's going on. If, you know, I can just envision that. If the rig happens and, It would just be horrifying. But then I can also, at that same time, picture what a beautiful, like, succulent treat that would be for the worst people in the country. Like, I can just see the secretaries of state, the Democrat activists, the Black Lives Matter people, like, reveling in that. I bet they're excited too. You know, I bet they're so excited to see all of the Trump supporters who have given their all, who have dedicated their time, who have risked social ostracization to bring this victory about, to watch all of that stolen from them unfairly. And I can just imagine the cheaters just grinning condescendingly, going, "Oh, gee, looks like you lost," knowing full well that they cheated. Like, these are bad people that, like, get off on this sort of stuff. So, like, when I picture what these people would do, like, they get off on the idea that they can commit these crimes and there's nothing you can do about it. It's an exercise of their power. They revel in their ability to, like, cause pain to people who cannot fight back. It's sick, but we see it on display constantly, especially when it comes to the wars raging right now. Where it's like the people that we are up against are the exact type of people that are, you know, posting videos of some poor, you know, Russian teenager literally on his hands and knees praying, like, in a ditch as some drone hovers around him, just, like, teasing him for a minute before, you know, blowing up and killing him. And it's people posting that just going, "Ha ha. Jack, yeah, you know, I bet he feels stupid." And it's like, Like, we're dealing with people with no empathy, no humanity. There's no, like, sense of honor or shame or justice to them. There's no, like, well, we gave it our all and fought a good fight, but we lost, and that's just the rules of the game. Like, normal people don't like cheating because we like winning. We like actual victory. We like actually knowing where we stand. Like, but there's a type of person that will cheat and then will get off on the fact that the person that they have cheated against is like complaining and going, but no, but they're cheating. I should win. And that person's cheating. And they're sitting there knowing that they're cheating, knowing that they're going to get away with it. And they like revel in this, in the misery they create in other people. And it's like, you know, maybe this isn't the most, whatever, typical, you know, political interpretation, political punditry. But I feel like if you want to know what's going to happen next, you kind of have to just imagine what would make the worst people in the world, aka the people with all of the power, feel powerful. Like, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. In the same way, the example I always use is like Stalin, these stories where crowds wouldn't stop cheering for Stalin for 30 minutes because they were afraid that they'd be killed if they stopped cheering. And like, there are some people that would stand in front of a crowd and revel and bathe and luxuriate in the applause they're receiving, knowing full well that it's not real. They know it's not legitimate applause. They know these people aren't cheering for 30 minutes because that's how much they love you. It's because they have a gun pointed at their head. And there are some people, the Stalin-esque amongst us, who are fine with that, are totally fine with winning in that way, are totally fine with, you know, being lauded for things they didn't do, for being celebrated despite not earning or doing anything worth celebrating. And those are the people that run our country. And at this point, like, following 2020, 2020 was the testing ground. They got away with it. They're going to do it again. And we knew this in 2020. That's why we were so hardcore about trying to get the true results of the election, about talking about the voter fraud that took place. Because we knew that if they got away with it in 2020, there'd be nothing stopping them from getting away with this in 2024. Be very few things that would, you know, possibly prevent them from doing that are things like Elon Musk buying X and knowing that they cannot put a lid on the claims of voter fraud like they could in 2020. Even though we all talked about it, mainstream media didn't touch it. X, you know, downgraded it. But I guarantee you, if there is any funny business on election day, Elon Musk and his tens of millions of followers will be tweeting about it. And it will be forced into the mainstream conversation. I'm going to open up the phone lines. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. What are we going to do if and when they steal the election? I think that needs to be the only, like, the thing that we consider. Because if we win, great, fantastic. But if we lose, nobody's going to believe it. I don't believe it right now. At the same time, you know, you can find leftists who legitimately think it's going to be a Kamala Harris landslide. That's baffling to me. But what do we do? What are we going to do? What can we do if they steal the election a la 2020? I'm up for suggestions. We'll be right back.
We're announcing Ultimate Hydroforce. Now, this is not just electrolytes, okay? This is really a superfood, similar to vitamin mineral fusion, but with a whole bunch more electrolytes and other things in there. It would take me a long time to go through the ingredients, three pages of them here, and what they do. But it's got super high quality vitamin C, niacin, vitamin B6, vitamin B12. It's got pantheogenic acid, vitamin B5, so key, calcium, magnesium, zinc, manganese, chloride, sodium, and more. Potassium, the list goes on and on. And it's all the highest quality sources of it on top of that. And then it funds my broadcast and the crew and all of us continuing on. So we need your support. If InfoWars shuts down November 13th to continue on, regardless, it's going to help us up our game if InfoWars survives. So please go check out this amazing supplement, the highest quality you're going to find, with big discounts and other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. We sought out the very best, highest quality rehydrating product for pre-workout, post-workout, you name it. And we found a top company with top reviews that would let us private label it. And it's beyond just hydration. It's beyond just getting your electrolytes. It's a superfood. It's a pre-workout. It's a post-workout. You've got to go read all the ingredients that are in this bad boy. And then look at the insane low prices, between 30 and 50% off, depending on how many canisters you get of Ultimate HydroForce. Now, again, go look at the ingredients for yourself and the quality of the ingredients and the amount of the ingredients. This baby is next level. This is beyond anything out there at anywhere near this low price. As you know, I always seek to bring you the very best supplements possible so you get a great response, great effects, and you want to come back and get them again. Like a restaurant wants to have tasty, good, delicious food. So there's a line out the door. Well, I've got to admit some false advertising, and next time we're reproduce this, or my sponsors do, we're going to probably have to change the name. And why is that? Well, it's simple. This is called Ultimate HydroForce Electrolyte Drink Mix. But it's really a superfood, post-workout, pre-workout. That's why it's Ultimate HydroForce and more, I guess you say. Hydration, energy, vitamins, minerals, health, immune system. Get your HydroForce exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that Dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexjonesstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and t-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexjonesstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm telling you, it's hard to imagine that there's any support for Kamala Harris at this point. Apparently there is. I hear there is. I'm looking for evidence of it. I'm having a hard time finding it. She did hold a massive rally in Houston, which just descended into chaos when people realized that they weren't actually being given a free Beyonce concert. But Donald Trump is basically leading everywhere. And so the question that I put out to callers is, what do we do when the election is stolen, as clearly they are trying to do? So we'll go out to your calls in just a second. Lots of calls still coming in. Thousands of votes already cast in Mesa County, Colorado, to be reexamined for evidence of fraud, as they've discovered many votes not just cast inappropriately and in terms of, you know, somebody's mail-in ballot being scooped up by somebody else and filled out and cast. but the entire mail-in ballot system itself is entirely insecure. There is absolutely no mechanism of legitimacy. There's no way to verify whether any vote counted was actually cast by the person that they say cast it. And they've actually set up their systems to prioritize the mail-in ballot. Even when somebody comes in person and says, I never cast a mail-in ballot, they count the mail-in ballot anyway. Even when the person is standing right in front of them telling them, I didn't cast a mail-in ballot. And that's not all. From Rasmussen reports, memo from Wisconsin, is the USPS a criminal enterprise? The United States Post Service recently changed the delivery method of absentee mail-in ballots. They're hiding the evidence of of absentee mail-in ballot fraud by not allowing the evidence to be created in the first place. Here's how and what changed. You cannot get the absentee mail-in ballot images from the USPS because they are not sending them to the central sorting facilities. Normally, you mail a letter to somebody or a bill goes out. It goes to your local post office. Then it gets to a central sorting facility. Wisconsin, for example, has six. Madison, Milwaukee, Oak Creek, Green Bay, North Illinois, and Eagan, Minnesota, that handles and sorts all mail. Even if mailed to your neighbor one house over, that's how the system works. Obama did this in 2011 and 12, consolidating the USPS to have less total facilities. Then the USPS began consolidating its central sorting facilities in August 22 and continued through February 2023. The consolidation plans included moving delivery options from over 200 spoke offices to 21 regional sort and delivery centers, where absentee mail-in ballots should go through a central sorting facility, where each and every one should get scanned and an electronic image created. But a teleconference was held for higher ups to the USPS in order to trickle down to the facilities to not send the ballots to central sorting, meaning no electronic images are being created. Confirmed at three locations in Wisconsin, confirmed at one regional office of the USPS, confirmed at one location in Colorado, and it explains why they denied my FOIA request for said images because there are none. See the letter they sent attached here, and we'll show you that in just a second. If you remember in 2020, the USPS was USPS was caught deleting evidence of these very electronic images. Still, to this day, they have not produced them. The USPS recently directed, less than a month before the election, post offices to not send absentee mail-in ballots to central sort, but instead take them to the electronic clerks, meaning, again, no electronic ballot images are being created in the first place. The USPS is doing this on purpose. And who did this? Amber McReynolds, an Obama-Biden plant to the USPS, head of the Zuckerberg Bucks National Vote at Home Institute, McReynolds, who was appointed by Biden to the U.S. Postal Service Governing Board, quote, and image in red circles from Pepe's grandma. Okay, so, yeah, basically have this woman who used to work for Zuckerberg's vote rigging organization is now in charge of USPS, and for some unstated reason, we keep going over this. If they can't give you a valid reason for why they're changing something, or if the reason they're giving isn't valid and doesn't actually make any sense, then there's an ulterior motive. There's an ulterior motive here. There's no reason for them to change the way that mail-in ballots are processed different than any other piece of mail to avoid the electronic scanning other than they want to cheat. I mean, that's it. That's the reason. And we explained this to you. I explained this to you. My call to poll watchers, the fact that you have boxes of open mail-in ballots being handled, transferred, transported, carried around, opened, and then redone by Democratic operatives all over the country in major cities, no oversight, no chain of custody, nothing. We just have to take their word for it. Our trustworthy, you know, Democratic opponents, they'll handle all the mail-in ballots. They'll transfer them to other ballots to go through the machine. And they're cheating. I mean, they are just cheating out in the open at this point and just manufacturing and printing as many ballots as they can possibly do. And Tucker Carlson actually talked about this at the Madison Square Garden rally yesterday. I don't know if I have that clip in particular. I think I do. Yeah, 23 is that's Tucker Carlson obliterating the leadership class. I'm not sure if this is him talking about this in particular, we'll go to this video and then out to your calls. But it's just obviously a gigantic issue, and not much is being done for it. And what is being done for it is being hampered and fought against by the people in power who don't want us to have secure elections. Sounds crazy. You know, it's like that It's Always Sunny joke where saying, who do you support, Trump or Hillary? And it's Frank Reynolds just going, Hillary, she hates freedom. So I'm like, what the hell do you mean she hates freedom? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, she hates freedom. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, it feels like that at a certain point. It's just like, they just hate legitimate elections. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but clearly they do. Clearly, by their actions, they're doing everything they can to make it to where we cannot trust our election results. And the only reason they could possibly want to participate in that is because they're cheating. There's really no other reason. So let's go to your, we'll watch this clip from Tucker Carlson. I don't think it's the one I was talking about, but we have a lot of clips from the big rally yesterday. So we'll go to this one, then out to your phone calls. Here's Tucker Carlson obliterating the so-called leadership class of America.
He's liberated us in the deepest and truest sense. And the liberation he has brought to us is the liberation from the obligation to tell lies. Donald Trump has made it possible for the rest of us to tell the truth about the world around us. And that's the single most liberating thing you can do for people. If you want to enslave people, if you want to degrade them, force them to tell lies. And they have. They force us to lie about everything, at gunpoint, effectively. They put people in prison for refusing to lie. And not just the obvious lies that men can become women or Vladimir Putin blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. No, honestly, he did. January 6th was an insurrection. They were unarmed, but it was very insurrection-y. Not even the obvious ones, but the big lie. You know what the big lie is? The big lie is that they're impressive. That's what the big lie is. That the people in charge have somehow earned the right to rule over you, and they haven't. And you know that. These are the single most useless people in the United States. They have no skills whatsoever. They've got 3/4 of the money, and they didn't earn it. They set up a system precisely for the purpose of awarding themselves wealth and power when it's undeserved. You look at Liz Cheney and you ask yourself honestly, what skill could she possibly have that allowed her to send hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths? Did she earn that? I don't think she did. No fair system would make Liz Cheney powerful. No fair system would make Larry Fink rich. No fair system would elevate someone like Kamala Harris to a presidential nomination. She's never been accused of doing anything useful. She has precisely no achievements. She's a nominee without getting a single vote. She is a metaphor for the system they created to make themselves rich and powerful, and then they have the gall to lecture you, the people who can actually change a flat tire and repair a power grid, who have useful jobs, who pay your taxes and work 40 hours a week, lecture you that you are somehow immoral. And Donald Trump has empowered the rest of us through mostly just sticking around in the face of their hate and abuse and persecution. He has given the rest of us the right to call BS on the charade. No, you are not better than us.
And y'all, the awakening is greater than I ever expected. I mean, the first Donald Trump election was a very profound tidal shift in the American consciousness. But in the last year, everything from waking up to the overt and overwhelming control of the Israel lobby that's happened after October 7th to the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, and RFK Jr., promoting, make fries. What is it? Make fries, beef tallow again. I mean, the seed oil conversation, the fluoride conversation, the obesity epidemic, and the designed poison in the food system. All of these things are coming to the fore. All of these things that have been true the entire time are finally able to be spoken about. And it's a beautiful thing, but a dangerous thing, because the people in power who for the last century have kept these things under wraps are not going to go quietly into the night. So we have to fight them. Republican battleground legal blitz falters ahead of election. Donald Trump's Republican allies have suffered a string of courtroom setbacks in battleground U.S. presidential election states as election day draws closer. Losses that could boost voter turnout and speed certification of the eventual winner. Yes, they're actually trying to frame this as a good thing. It's things like, I believe it was 1,500 illegal non-citizens who were signed up to vote, who themselves admitted, said, hey, we're apparently signed up to vote and we're not supposed to be. We're non-citizens. They're removed from the rolls. And now a Virginia judge has demanded that they be put back on the rolls. They're not able to vote. They are not American citizens. But a judge has decided to force the election board to allow them to vote. Like the victories the Democrats are having in the courts are just the rigging of the election. That's all it is. In the past 3 weeks, Trump's allies have been dealt at least 10 court losses in battleground states that could decide the outcome of the November 5th contest between Republican former President Trump and Democratic rival Vice President Kamala Harris. On Friday, they were dealt another loss in Virginia, where a federal judge blocked the state's removal of people it said had not proved their citizenship from its voter rolls. U.S. District Judge Patricia Tolliver Gillis said the removal ran afoul of federal prohibition on purging large numbers of voters in the 90 days before the election. The state, which is not a swing state in this election, said it would appeal. But, you know, just like what happened after the 2020 election, they'll frame this, and in this article, they frame these court losses as if they are proof that the Republicans are doing something wrong or don't have a good case, which isn't true. I mean, the Virginia case is the perfect example. They aren't citizens. They should not be on the voter rolls. Purging them is the correct action by any metric whatsoever, but this judge reverses it because she can. So there you go. Republicans lose again because Democrats cheat. So they're just cheating. And it really is as simple as that. Let's go to your calls now before we show some more videos and talk about some of the reaction from the Madison Square Garden rally. Andrew in New York, you were at that rally. What are your thoughts about the upcoming election?
Well, first one, the rally was big, but the election, I think we just got to watch everything they do. Got to make sure that if they need to have to audit, they have to. I think they should take Kamala off the ballot, though, because she doesn't even qualify. Like, her parents are, she's an anchor baby and all that. I mean, obviously, Trump is way ahead. I mean, Kamala needs AI for her rallies, and she still can't. And she still has to bring, like, bus in people, if that even is Kamala. I mean, Trump had, like, over 100,000 people, like, outside of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it was massive.
Everywhere. Yeah. On X, I mean, when Trump was interviewing with Elon, he got over a billion views. Like, he gets more people watching than anybody. Yeah. Rally was really good. I still think we're in continuity of government. I think Grasshopper is a good show to watch for the rallies too. The election, I think Trump is going to be back one way or the other. I think maybe, I mean, 22, like, for them to win the House, even with all that fraud, you know, like, I still think that I kind of think they kind of let some of it happen, and that the deep state's punishments to come later. The Brunson case, that goes on one way or the other, even if they have a regular election this year.
Well, it's like
I think Trump will run unopposed.
Thank you for the call, Andrew. The clip I was going to show of Tucker Carlson is him basically saying nobody's going to believe that Kamala Harris gets 85, 90 million votes, right? Nobody's going to believe that, but that's what's, I guess, going to be necessary. And the point is, of course, you have to get out and vote. You have to get out and vote. You have to go and vote for Trump. You have to bring people along with you to vote for Trump. You have to talk to your friends and family to vote for Trump. I heard Alex yesterday reference the number. I'm not sure where the source is, but I've heard it a few times. Something like 32 million Christians are not voting in this election, at least some percentage of them, because Trump is not hardcore enough on abortion, despite the fact that he gave them the biggest victory they've ever had in the abortion fight by getting rid of Roe versus Wade. That's not enough, I guess, for them. 32 million is a gigantic number. And if that really is how many people are abstaining from this, then maybe we will lose. But if we get 90 million votes, there's literally not enough votes to fraudulently count to overcome that. So, and no one's going to believe that Kamala Harris gets 10 million more votes than Joe Biden got last time. Like, that's just, I mean, nobody should believe the number that Biden got last time. That was fraudulent in the first place. But, like, it's going to be ridiculous if they say, you know, 100 million people voted for Trump and 110 voted for Kamala. And it's like, really? Because that's about 50 million more people than are on the voter rolls. So what, how did that happen? Like, there is a certain number that we can get to that it makes it impossible for them to do it regardless. Like not even cheat in a way that's believable, but like they can't even do it at that point. If there's enough Trump voters, they cannot overwhelm that number. So we have to get out and vote. You have to get everybody to vote. And again, I don't want, you know, talking about the way that they're rigging this and cheating. Please don't let that dissuade you from voting. That's why you have to vote even harder. We have to win legitimately because we're the good guys. They can cheat. They have to lose. It has to happen. Has to happen. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Bald Eagle in Kansas. Bald Eagle in Kansas, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. I'm glad to hear you coming around. I don't mean this in a condescending way. I called in a couple of weeks ago and asked you the exact same question you're asking us, the audience today, of if they steal it, what are you going to do? And I gave the analogy that it doesn't matter how many people vote, or like you just said, vote harder, because you have two teams playing right now, and the other team's head coach is keeping score on the scoreboard.
Right.
So no matter how well we play throughout this entire game, they will put up one more point at the end of the game, call Fox and say, we won. What are you going to do about it? And just like in 2020, nothing was done. And a bully doesn't stop picking until you punch him in the mouth.
Yep.
So I recommend the same, that that the FBI whistleblower let us all know about here 2 or 3 weeks ago. You need to pray, prepare, food, guns, and you know, if you want to vote, go for it. But you're playing in a rigged game, and it doesn't matter, because they're just going to put up one more point at the end. Nobody questioned Joe Biden getting 10 million more votes or whatever it was than Trump last time, and nobody's going to question it again. No more than saying that's impossible. And then going to the courts to fight it, the rigged system, it will all lead to the same outcome, and 2028 will be in the same place we are today. But
well,
I'm glad.
I hope not.
Well, look, I'm not all circuses and rainbows today, and often I'm not. I'm just trying to be real and prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Yeah, and so look, God, you know, we were on the forefront of questioning the election in 2020. We led the Stop the Steal caravans to D.C., multiple of them, including on January 6th. We tried to stop people from going in the Capitol.
Right.
We've talked about voter fraud and advocated and, you know, promoted the people doing something to stop voter fraud since 2020. I think the reason it's hitting me like extra hard today is because of how well Trump is doing. Like, that's the difference now. Is that like Trump is so overwhelmingly popular and his people are so fired up and victory seems so assured that now I'm like extra worried. Now I'm extra worried that they're going to cheat. It was always sort of, you know, it was always a possibility. It was always something that we knew they were going to do.
If people were serious about this, Harrison, you would have Republican and Libertarian third party candidates and congressmen and senators screaming from the hilltops about the fraud that took place in 20 and the fraud that we're seeing every day be brought to light in this election already.
Yeah. Well, and look, what confuses me, and I talked about this last week as well, like I actually can't wrap my mind around why they're not more outspoken, like the Ted Cruz's, you know, whatever, the any of these people. It's like they don't have to believe in conspiracy theories. They don't have to whatever. They don't have to believe any of this stuff. It's their own power. It's their own ability to get elected, and they don't speak up. It's their own position that's going to be stolen from them, and yet they don't speak up. So it's like, you know,
they're in on it.
But that's the thing. If they're in on it, wouldn't they benefit from it? Like, how are you going to be in on something where you lose the election on purpose? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. That's what I'm saying is so baffling about it. Like, why it doesn't make any sense is, how can they be in on it? It's happening against them. They're the ones who are going to be kicked out of office from the fraudulent votes. So, like, why would they go along with it? What do they have to gain? They're going to lose everything because of this.
But just like the Jews in the concentration camps that actually helped execute their fellow Jews, they thought, it just keeps me alive that much longer. They won't do it to me. They'll do it to the others. Our congressmen and senators are no different on the conservative, quote unquote, conservative side. They think if I just go along to get along, I'll be fine, not knowing that they'll all find themselves at the end of the noose or the end of the breadline after it's all said and done, just like every other schmuck out there that's voting harder.
That could be it. Thank you for the call, Bald Eagle. I want to go quickly to Aaron in Colorado, talking about mail-in ballots. Thank you for calling in, Aaron. You're on the air.
Harrison, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. So my husband and I were filling out our mail-in ballots the other night, the gold standard Colorado is for mail-in ballots. And I noticed when I put my ballot into the envelope, I could completely see that I had voted for Donald Trump. Like,
wow.
The secure envelopes are not secure at all.
That's wild. When you are sending in your mail-in ballot and you pack it in correctly, there's a way to see that you voted for Trump from outside, like without opening it?
Oh, yes. So if you put it in the proper way with the instructions facing you as you put it in the envelope, you flip it over and you can see clearly, like you don't even have to press on the envelope. You can see the circle and you can see Donald Trump. Now, Kamala Harris is folded under, but even by process of elimination, you could see if you had voted for her, too.
Wow. So anybody handling these can just choose to dump the Trump ones without even opening it.
Sure.
That's kind of shocking.
And they can also,
can you post an image of that?
Yeah, I think my husband actually DM'd it to you.
Okay, I'll check my DMs during the break. Thank you for that call, Aaron. More calls on the other side. More stories, more clips from Madison Square Garden. Don't go anywhere, folks. Thank you for the call, Aaron. Thank you for letting us know about that.
My mission on air is to tell the truth, to rally humanity, and fight the globalist. And we've done one of the best jobs out there thanks to your support. So we know InfoWars could easily be shut down on November 13th. We're going to find out. But regardless, we've got great sponsors that are backing us to make sure the message of liberty and freedom and the resistance to the WEF, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, King Charles, Kamala Harris, New World Order continues to be in their face and continues to keep myself and the great crew at the tip of the spear. So, we have a great sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, with amazing t-shirts and caps and hoodies. They're really some of the best designs out there, and they fund the fight against the New World Order. But we've also brought you some of the very best supplements. And we could have had a whole huge line by now, but we want to go out to the very best companies and get agreements to private label already bestsellers that are the top rated. That way we know you're getting the best. So we've got the CMOS gummies, the CMOS capsules, total superfood. Then you have the mega superfood with over 90 ingredients, the optimal human. It's the best of the green drinks out there, hands down. Plus the energy is amazing. That's all at the AlexJonesStore.com. But now we are announcing the Ultimate Probiotic. That's the line, Ultimate. And it's just a very high quality probiotic, the foundation that everybody needs at a very affordable price. Upwards of 50% off when you buy multiple bottles. Big sales. Everything's at least 30% off when it comes to the supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a high-end, quality probiotic that helps your gut be healthier, helps you absorb nutrients better, helps your whole immune system, and you will find Ultimate Probiotic with $60 billion. That's a very high number if you don't know about probiotics, at thealexshowstore.com. A whole bunch of other great stuff's coming out in the next few weeks, so continue to check out the URL, thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. We salute you.
Thank you.